He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. Please bow your heads for prayer. I want you to speak to God that He would touch your heart and minister to you personally. No matter where you are coming from this evening, no matter your life situation, you want the Holy Spirit to speak to you personally tonight. Just call on the Holy Spirit to do just that for you tonight, in Jesus' name. There is a name I love to hear, I love to speak its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. There is a name I love to hear. There is a name I love to hear. I love to speak its worth. I love. And you sent your Son, the irreplaceable Lamb of God, to take away our sin and to give meaning to our lives. You loved me and you gave me the privilege and honor of being a vessel that you can use. Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. And we love you because you showed us the way. This evening, let our hearts be turned to that love. Let our hearts respond to that love. Let us be transformed by that love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Daughter. Well, I'm privileged and honored to be here this evening at your beautiful cathedral. And your decor is not easy. Amen. I can see that you are a mega church. I also want to salute your prophet and his wife. Amen. And all the pastors and their wives, and all you shepherds that are here. God bless you. And thank you for the honor of having us here. Amen. I also want to salute my biological father who gave birth to me. Hallelujah. Daddy, God bless you. Amen. I remember a hymn that you taught me, that Jesus, who lives above the sky, came down on earth to die for us. And in the Bible, we can see how very good he used to be. Thank you for taking us to church every Sunday, for showing us the way, for having morning devotion in our home every day. God had for us. God bless you, Daddy. Amen. Making this day possible. And thanks to my husband, the bishop, for releasing me. Amen. As I was driving in, he drove in. Amen. And because I thought your church was far away, I reckoned that I had to set out early. So I was just looking at him and meditating. So as he's come now, and I'm also standing on the car park in my cloth, am I negotiating the going? Am I supposed to go back and serve him? Or he's, oh, go cry, be blessed. Hallelujah. So I thank him for releasing me to be here. This evening, I am going to be brief. Amen. And thank you to the ladies, all the wonderful things you said, the little children. I give it all to God, and I pray that God's testimony about me will be the same. Amen. So God bless you. This evening, I want to speak to you about the woman who loves the Lord. Amen. The woman who loves the Lord. Now, many of us women have a very deep capacity to love. Amen. And we have a heart that is very deep. And so when we say we have fallen in love or that we love you, many times it's a very, very, very deep commitment. And because of the level of commitment, when we are also disappointed, the upheaval that follows it is very great. Because we don't love usually just on the surface. We love where it even hurts. We love to the extent that the thing that we love can even hurt us. And so many people, when they experience, let's say, a heartbreak or a broken relationship, they find it very difficult to recover. And when you ask the brothers, they'll say, ah, but he has moved on, you to move on. But for a woman, one of the greatest investments she makes in her life is in the area of relationships. And she invests so much that when it doesn't work, it can sometimes have even senseless effects on her. That is why when you go to the mental hospital, the men are there for drug addiction and all that, but the women are there because of the depths of their relationships. And I used to be in a group called the Friends of Ankafu when we were in Wesley Girls. And we would go and interact with the mentally challenged. And most of the women, their problems were things to do with love. And some of them would be sitting staring in space. When you say hello to them, then they say, Peter, John, oh, Kweku, is this what you've done to me? Because our capacity to love, it's also the thing that even destroys us. I was counseling a lady in our church not so long ago. She told me, if I know, she has a brother who has a drug problem. So she took that brother to the mental hospital. When she was going through, they were doing some work or whatever, so she had to go through the female part. And as she walked through the female part, she's an Ewe, she heard a woman speaking in Ewe. Oh, Kofi, is this my end, Kofi? Is this what you have done to me? And she told me that when she got home that evening, she told her husband that you sitting there, I am telling you something. I will never allow you to make me mad. And the husband was wondering that where is this speech from? Why? But she knew where she was coming from. And it was almost an attack. And the husband said, but why are you saying that? I said, I just want to inform you that if you think you have that privilege, let me tell you that you in particular, I will never allow it. And I said to her, that is a great vow to make to yourself. Every woman must say to herself that she will not allow any human being to send her around the bend. Because before you met the person, you had a life. Before you met the person, you were sane. Before you met the person, you could reason. And therefore, you have lived in that state before. And it's not now that this thing is going to turn around and destroy you. The woman who loves the Lord. Now, Jesus gave a parable in the Bible. He once went to a house. Don't worry, we'll read the Bible soon. He once went to a house, and a woman came and wept over his feet, wiped his feet with her hair, was crying, anointed his feet with very expensive ointment that even Judas Iscariot complained. And all the people sitting there were saying, oh, if he knew, you know, what type of woman this was, he wouldn't have allowed such things to happen to him. The woman was known as the sinful woman. Let's read it in Luke 7, verse 47. Okay? Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Luke is not in the Old Testament, please. Let's read from 44. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little, loves little. Amen. Now, some people use this story to take women into their bedroom to anoint them. And then they say, oh, she's just anointing me like Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. It was in public. This encounter with Jesus was in public and in the full view of everybody. It wasn't a private ministration. So, Ogba, in the first place. Hallelujah. And she didn't anoint every part of his body. She anointed his feet. Amen. So be careful where you let people touch in the name of anointing. Amen, ladies. But Simon did not give Jesus any water. And the woman looked around and said, this is not my house. But I have a certain source of water that comes from within. And that is my tears. And I will use those tears. You know, when you want to love somebody or love something, you don't make excuses. You look for ways of expressing that love. So, she knew that as I've come, the person who owns the house has not even brought water. So where am I going to get water from? But because he's the master, there's a well of water within me for this man. And that well of water is what I'm going to use to wash his feet. And then she used her hair. Women value their hair so much. Sometimes they can sit for hours, sometimes days, braiding their hair. If you ask them, how long did this take? 3 days, 7 hours, 8 hours. But if you ask them, how long do you spend in the presence of God? 2 seconds, 5 seconds. And the hair, sometimes they'll twist it. Sometimes they'll turn it. So different things. Even if we have to borrow hair to look good, we will borrow hair. So for this woman to use her hair to wipe dirty feet of Jesus that has walked the length and breadth of Israel was not a mean thing. Women don't just use their, can you imagine your daughter spills milk or Milo, then you start to use your hair. You wouldn't do that. Amen. But she used her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. And then after that, she brought out expensive ointment and she anointed his feet, which all the brothers there, excuse me to say, had not done. And they were saying in their heads, what type of woman is this? If he were a prophet, he would know what type of woman. But Jesus said, he who is forgiven much, loves much. So the woman who loves the Lord is somebody who recognizes the extent of the sacrifice which the master has made for her. It is a grateful heart and a heart filled with gratitude towards God that decides to love God. Hallelujah. But many of us Christians, we don't even know what God has done for us. Many times when they say the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, after all it's the whole world, and so on. It's a generalized type of love. But let me ask you, some of you who are parents, if you were to give up your only begotten son, and even your only begotten son is not a sinless one, but God's only begotten son is innocent, has not done anything, and then he gives up that son in exchange for you. You the robber, you the armed robber, you the fornicator. It should stir up some gratitude in us to love God. Hallelujah. And God does not choose the kind of woman that should love him or draw close to him or the kind of people. But he says that if you truly value your forgiveness, you just naturally love more. Could it be that the church of God has lost its significance or the significance of what Christ did, or even the appreciation of spiritual things, so that our ability to even love God has been kept? Hallelujah. But if we love God, the woman that loves God has so much going for her. Lady Pastor, what are some of the things that are going for a woman who loves the Lord? Some of you ask, what is love? When you were in love, you knew. When that boy lied to you, you knew. When he sang that song that, lay your troubles on my shoulders, put your worries in my pocket. He himself, his worries are more than his pockets. But he is telling you to put your problems in his pockets. And you too, because you are swooning in love, you believe it. When you are really in love, nobody tells you that this is love. But you yourself, from the signs, you know that this is love. Hallelujah. So don't tell me that when you come to the house of God, oh, Lady Reverend, what is love? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let me ask you, ladies, your strength, is it used to love God? Your strength is used to cook for that lai momo, hoping that he will change his mind. Hallelujah. Your strength is used for other things, but it's not channeled towards loving God. Your soul is used for other things, our emotions, our thoughts. They don't even center on God. But Jesus said, you shall love the Lord God. And when he said that, we're thinking, oh, what a tall order. God, he likes saying things that are difficult. He likes saying things that are dry. But it was for our own sake or it is for our own sake that God asks us to love. And when you read Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. Now, we like to quote this verse and then we say, oh, you know, somebody relates something to you, say, oh, how tragic, how bad. Anyway, all things work together for good, so don't worry. But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God. The woman that loves God has all things working together for her good. But the woman that does not love God does not have all things working together for her good. All things may just be working, but they will not work together. But when you decide to set your affection on the Lord, then all things that are in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, they work together. They're in collaboration. They are in cooperation. And they work together for our good. Hallelujah. When you look at the story of Joseph, all things were not good. It's not good for your brothers to take away from you your coat of many colors and to dip it in blood. It's not good for your brothers to be filled with so much envy and put you in a waterless pit and wish for you to die. It is not good for God to give you a dream that your brothers will bow to you, and the people that are supposed to bow to you, you are taken far away from them into Egypt. It cannot be good. It cannot be good. Hallelujah. And then you are sold into slavery by your own brethren. It cannot be good. When you look at all the set of circumstances, it was not good. His mother Rachel had passed away when she was having Benjamin. And so he was left without a mother at a tender age. And then his brothers, who were from the other side, hated him so much that when he was crying, he said, here comes this dreamer. Let us seize him and see what will become of his dreams. Then when he starts to get a little respite, Potiphar's wife also says that, oh, you have seduced me, you have come after me, and everybody believes it. You are in a land where nobody knows you. You are in a land where you don't have any family ties. You are in a land where you feel so deserted. All these things cannot be good. And then you end up in jail. Prison is not a good place to be. Prison is not a place that anybody desires to be. And Ghanaian prisons are even worse. How can all these things be good? But when you love God, God just orchestrates everything. And then everything begins to work together for your good. Hallelujah. The woman who loves God will have all things working together for her good. If Joseph had not been sent away, he would never have been a forerunner of the 12 tribes of Israel. If he had stayed where he was, the famine would have come and it would have cleared all of them away. So being sent away to Egypt is not good. But the master architect knows how to weave through so that that thing will work together for your good. Hallelujah. Whilst you are going through something, you are often not so excited. And then you just don't come and say, oh, this thing is very good. And I mean, I would be a hypocrite to say that everything is good, everything. It's not like that. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis 45, 7 to 8. Genesis 45, 7 to 8. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Israel. Hallelujah. When Joseph met his brothers. He didn't say, hey, you sent me. And what you did was not. He said, God sent me. God sent me. Not you. Not your envy. Not your jealousy. Not your evil thoughts. Not that thing that drives you to finish me. But God had a hand in it. And God sent me. Hallelujah. And he has even discovered the reason why God sent me. God sent me before you to preserve you. A posterity in all the earth. God sent me before you to preserve you. So your very existence depends on me. Amen. Your very existence depends on me. In fact, my brothers, you should give me an offering. Or I rather would like to give you an offering for sending me ahead. Now let me ask you, if Joseph had not gone to jail, how would he have met the butler and the baker? What access would he have had to the palace? Because you are in Potiphar's house, all right, but you are a house boy. Pharaoh doesn't know you. For you to be introduced to Pharaoh, you have to go to jail and meet officers of the palace. And those officers of the palace are the channel that God will use to bring you into a good place. For we know that all things work together for good. Jail is not good, but jail was a place where the dream was finally culminated. Jail was a place where his gift came out. When he saw his brothers and he said, oh, I had a dream that you bowed before me. And they all said, oh, away with you, small boy. But when he was in jail, his gifts came alive. Often, it is in the dark places that plants do well. Amen. They need sunlight, all right, but the seed has to fall into the dark ground before it becomes something. And so Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. If you want all things to work together in your life for good, begin to be a woman who loves God. Hallelujah. Some of you, you moan about everything that happened in your past. This boy and how he did. This man and how he did. You know, a lady just passed away a few days ago, accidentally. And then somebody called me from outside Ghana to say, I hear this lady has passed away. I said, yes, it's so tragic. And she said that since that man messed up her life, I don't think her life has ever been the same again. And when she was even in that marriage, sometimes she would call me. Lady pastor, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to throw myself down. Don't throw yourself down. Then we'll rush, visit her, minister to her. Lady pastor, I'm going to take some medicine and end it all. Don't do it. Don't take your medicine and end. The person was telling me one tragedy after the other, after the other, after the other. And now, even on the day she was supposed to be discharged, that's the day that she has passed away. The person said, I think she has had many battles. So maybe God has called her to rest. And some of you are at such places. There are issues that when you remember, no, you want to cry. When you remember, no, you wish it had never happened. You want to blot it out. You want, and some of us, it has filled us with bitterness, revenge, a certain posturing about life. But if you come to that place where you believe that Romans 8:28 will work for you, that in spite of all those things that even make you cry up to today, it's raw material for God to use because you love him. As a church, when we were in Kolegono, the way we were beaten, the way we were attacked, the things that were said, people used to ask us, do you pray? Do you do prayer walks? Have you sought God's face? Do you engage the community? And I knew we had done all that. But not long ago, I was having my quiet time in Job. And I saw that even Job's friend said that it's because he doesn't pray much. That the things have happened to him. So I said, oh, then this thing, it was in the Bible already. Just that at that time, I didn't see it. Do you go for prayer walks? And then on the day that we were attacked, that bottles were broken. Blood was spilled. Pregnant women passed out. I mean, there was utter chaos. It was working out for our good. Because that pressure point
drove Bishop to have a meeting on that day. He called the pastor and said, does anybody know any property in Accra? This time we are desperate. Any property? One pastor lifted up his eyes and said, I know a warehouse at North Kaneshi, but Bishop, we can't afford it. And Bishop said, it's true, we can't afford it. But what has happened here is so terrible, so bad that people don't want us. So we must move out. At that time, it was a warehouse. We didn't know what was going to be there. Amen. And then we just trusted and believed God. You know, when you are relating something, it sounds so easy. We just trusted and believed God. But the journey was not an easy journey. And when some of the structures had gone up, that little chapel had been put up, and then Bishop Blake and his members came from California, and he was supposed to dedicate that little chapel. So he went up the stage and said, oh, I want to congratulate Bishop Dagwood Mills, a man of vision, a man of skill, a man who sees ahead, a man who... Oh, that collates were not easy, like this evening's own. And then Bishop came up and said, oh, I thank Bishop Blake for all his kind words. But it is not vision, skill, and things that has brought us here. It's beatings, torments, cryings, tears, distresses that have brought us to this place. Who would ever have thought about the Kodesh? Who would ever have dreamt what it would be? But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. When you know that your life is not in the hands of any man, and you are not afraid when things happen to you. You don't say, oh, these my brothers, they did this. You see, all your fights are with men, but there's a greater supreme being, supreme power that is behind everything. And things can work out for your good only when you love the Lord. And I think that God prepared us with a spirit of humility. You know, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that you exalt. So when he brought us to the Kodesh, by that time, he had stripped us of everything called self. And everything that will make you say, oh, it was my vision, and then I passed, and then I foresaw, and then I moved, and I took 5 steps, and then it was accomplished. They have beaten you so much, you have nothing to boast about. And then God reveals his glory. This evening, I came to challenge you to be a woman who fears the Lord. Because when you fear the Lord, all things will work together for your good. There are many unpleasant situations that have come my way, but it has made me a better person. It has made me a more understanding person. When I see people, I have to counsel people. I don't say, hey, you, why? This, that. No. I shared that last year's Kodesh daughter. I was saying that. See, some people feel that because you are the bishop's wife, you also don't have your share of shakings and shakings and what? Tremblings. But some time ago, I traveled. When I came back, my whole chapel has been divided in the church and shared. And I didn't even know. I had been speaking to my husband many times. Oh, so how is it? Oh, it's great. He didn't tell me that there have been any such major things in the church. I don't think that he wanted to hide it, but it just didn't occur to him that. So it was when I came that the late Mrs. Saki, she was laughing. She said, you don't know. Even chapel, you don't have some. I said, oh, what do you mean? I have Women with Direction, Titus Chapel, this chapel. I oversee that. Oh, I've nurtured them. Many have become pastors. Oh, they are there. She said, oh, your chapels have been dissolved. They've been dashed to people. I said, so what is my role in the church now? She said, I don't know. Maybe when we go to the pastor's meeting, then you will hear. Hey! Went to the pastor's meeting. They said, all those who don't have chapels, sit here. And I looked at the people by me. There are people who joined the church a few years ago. But me, a pioneer and founding first lady, I was sitting amongst them. And I was thinking, if anybody's chapel should be dissolved, I should not be the one. So then they spoke to the people who now have chapels, and even they have made them larger. Do you understand? So okay, so you people, so how are you going to do then? Even the people who didn't have chapels, they shared for them. Okay, so you, now your chapel will be here. So you. So when they finished the meeting, I saw that, they have not talked about me. So anybody has any question? Yes, me. I don't know where I belong. Oh, my husband said, you go back to the trenches, eh? You do well there. Start afresh. Start afresh. Oh! It wasn't easy. And at such times, I need the grace of God to keep comported. Amen. But some of you, that is where you will start to face your husband. What do you mean? Why? Do you know how long I've been in the church? Let me just leave it. This verse has always kept me. I thought that maybe God wants to do something new. Maybe there's something I haven't seen that I'm going to see. And then also he kept telling me, you are very good at starting things. So if I'm good at starting, when I start, then you take, start, take. Is that how it's going to be? Anyway. So as my husband, so what will I do? So, you see the people in the church, some of them, they don't like coming for meetings much, you know. They don't join any ministry, whatever. So go and found a ministry that the people come, let's say, once a month or something. Oh! Is that a ministry? Is it possible to have a ministry like that? So I decided, by the grace of God, to just submit and flow. So that started Compassion Ministry. And we say, okay, we meet every other Sunday and all that. Today, that has been what we use to entice the people to join our ministries. Oh, do you want a ministry that doesn't worry you too much? Do you want a ministry that you can give of what you can give? Compassion is your answer. Hallelujah. And last Saturday, I was at an outreach, preaching to them. We're at Novotel. They went to get people from everywhere. They gave their lives to Christ. We go to the police counterbacks every other week. So the 2 weeks that we come for meeting, the other 2 weeks we go to counterback. And by the grace of God, it is working. So I said, for we know, in spite of all my tears, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And because that has happened to me, when I go anywhere, I have to give any pastoral counsel, I can use my life as an example. I was in Italy preaching, and then I spoke about this example, and then somebody came to me. He had even left the church. He said that, this is your preaching, D. I didn't know you also have been through anything like that. And that has been a source of encouragement to other people. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hallelujah. The second thing, and I'm ending soon, that the woman who loves the Lord can avail herself of the promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Hallelujah. It's a very popular verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Beloved, we go around looking for so many things. We have so many fantastic needs and things that we want God to answer our prayers for. But if we would just direct our hearts to love God, so many things will come our way that we have not really asked God for. Everything that you are asking God for, I have seen. You're asking for a husband, I have seen. Amen. You're asking for a child, I have seen. Ear has heard. But God says that the level to which he takes those that love him, the level to which God takes those that love him, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered even into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. All your wahala, all your hustling, all your moving to and fro, using your might. I must get a good marriage. I must raise my children this way. I must do this. If you only loved him, the things that eye has not seen, the things that ear has not heard, the things that has not entered into the heart of man, God is able to give to you. The woman that loves God. Hallelujah. But we are so deceived by the worldly things around us that we don't see loving God as a priority. We see getting the things. Get all you can and can all you get. Amen. Get it, and when you finish, put it in a can. Can all you get. Hallelujah. But if you would just love him, there's so much he has prepared for you that cannot be revealed because you have not directed your love in the right places. We put our love in things that don't last. We put our love in things that can never cross from here to eternity. We put our love in things that never satisfy. Like the woman at the well. 5 times you've been married. I wonder why you would go 5 times. The first time, John, you said that he has a temper problem. The second one, Peter, you said that he's a phlegmatic. He doesn't try. The third one, you say he's stingy. The fourth one, you say he's cruel. The fifth one, you say he's not handsome. You keep looking and you never discover because you are looking for something that does not exist. Hallelujah. God has not created any one man or relationship to fulfill all your needs. There's no such thing. If he did, then he will have a competitor, and that competitor will be God. Some of you are in a charismatic church today because of the things God allowed you to go through maritally. Otherwise, here, you'll be looking down on us, making all sorts of comments, but God has used the experiences of your life to humble you and to make you spiritual. I have not seen. When I was getting married to my husband, when the Bible says, I has not seen, you don't know what you will become or what you are doing will become. I remember when I went to tell my father that I wanted to get married, and he was asking my husband, what did you say the name of your church was? Traffic light, search light, torch light, which one? Hallelujah. And my father-in-law, he even added Osuno. You know Osuno, the lies that the Kenke sellers used to sell. And because at that stage, the ministry looked like Osuno. My father-in-law was so upset. How can you go and get married in a church that meets in a canteen? How can that be? It wasn't easy for us. Then they said, okay, they'll take us to celebrity golf course for our reception. And then the overflow, our church members, they will leave the overflow at Gimpa. Then my husband said, no, I'm the pastor of the church. The overflow is not going to Gimpa. Then we didn't have an organist and so many other things. At that time, I had not seen. You see, when you saw my husband, you couldn't tell what God would use him for at all. Because he was very skinny, lanky, you know. And my mother would even ask, what's that lanky boy doing here? That lanky boy, what is he doing? And one day my husband came to visit me on a horse. My mother said, hey, he's lanky and he sits on a horse. The eye was not seeing what God had prepared. Lighthouse Chapel began in a small room of 5 people behind School of Hygiene. And people said to us that, you see, if your church is by the roadside, let's say you are going to Obechebi Lamte, your church is by the roadside, or you are going even by Obosoka, your church is by the roadside, but yours, you are not known. You are starting a church, you are behind buildings. Nobody comes to Kolebu to do anything major unless it's a detour, you know. So to have a church there is not going to work. And even we ourselves never ever prayed for increase. We prayed for souls, but we never prayed for a mega church. Never. We just knew witnessing, follow up. Witnessing, follow up. That was the church. Because that's all we knew about. Not knowing that God will bring us to such a place. Hallelujah. If we had prayer meetings every Friday. If we had prayed every Friday and you had asked me, pray the prayer topic about what you think God will do, I could never have dreamt or formulated a prayer topic to, I don't want to say encapsulate, but that's the only word I have, to encapsulate what God would do. Hallelujah. I couldn't have prayed that God, make us great. Make us great. Send us across the nations. Send us to Asia, Australia. Look, where you are standing, it doesn't come into your prayer topic. When the Bible says, I have not seen, your prayer topic cannot capture what God is about to do. Even to have a branch was not part of the plan. You don't have, you know, some people have strategies, futuristic. There was no such thing. To have a branch, hey, but this one that we have in the canteen, cry, is not easy. So a branch had not entered into our hearts or even come into our minds. Or even have we heard about it, because people didn't have branches. And even if they had, they said they were having a lot of problems. So we didn't think that a branch was a good thing. Now when I even travel with my husband and I sit at certain places, I see Yongi Cho passing me salt. And how does somebody from Kolegono come and sit by somebody from Korea for the person to pass salt to you? And then when I see all the great people on television and I'm sitting with them, oh, Adelaide, do you want a donut? Do you... I have not seen. Nor ear heard. I couldn't have dreamt it. I couldn't have written a book about it in my wildest dreams. I couldn't have written, okay, at this stage, you know, we'll go to Korea and then we'll meet Dr. Cho and this will happen. I could not have. The things that I've seen, even just in the natural. I went to one pastor's wife's wardrobe on Beverly Hills. It's bigger than this room. I tell you. Their church is filled with stars. Magic Johnson, Angela Bassett, and oh, they were all having breakfast there. Okay, pastor, see you. Okay, pastor. Hey. And then when Bishop preached, said, you want to work for God? Come forward. There came Magic Johnson's wife, Denzel Washington's wife. Hey, am I in the right place? Yeah. And whenever we go back to the hotel, my husband will say, Mommy, how come we are here? And he every day will say, let's kneel down and praise God. So we are forever kneeling down to praise God. I have not seen. And last year, when I saw Bishop at the Olympic Stadium in Korea, preaching to all these thousands of Koreans. Hey, how did we get here? Your own might cannot get you there. Your own power, even your imagination cannot get you there. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. Even the relationships that I have sometimes, I don't know how it comes about. It's not by any energy. And just love God. Love God. He will bring you to places that your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, and it has not entered into your heart. He will bring you into that place. Hallelujah. When I went to the pastor's wife's wardrobe, when we arrived, you know, they played a joke. They said, oh, our friend who lives here has traveled and we are just going to put on the lights in his house. But the moment we entered, the way they were feeling, it can't be that. So then later they laughed, oh, it's our house. Hey, if it's pink things, they are on a rail like that. And then she told me, when I wear this Sunday, then the lady, she has a lady who takes care of the wardrobe, she writes the date so that she will not repeat it. You understand? And then her heart, and she told me, I give so much away all the time because the people just dash her. Do you understand? When the pastor was coming to Ghana, he told us that when I was coming to Ghana, oh, I just met Denzel and he called me on the corridor and gave me a million dollar check. And I told him that, oh, he should hold it because we have another project. And he said, oh, pastor, just use it if there's another project. I have not seen. When we finished, we signed the visitor's book. I said, yes. And then as we were going, the show said, oh, you see that gate over there? Beyond there lives Magic Johnson. And from Kolegono to Beverly Hills, I have not seen. But some of you are trying to get visa every day, you are bounced. You are how you get to Beverly Hills, cry is a problem. Begin to love God. Begin to channel your love in the right direction. Begin to make him the focus of your heart. And you will see that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. I never even knew that I would have a women's convention called Daughter Ikamik. I used to have a small Bible study, 3 people, NTC TV room. Mercy, do you remember? Then I had the first convention, the complete woman. So I'm small, but preaching with all my heart, knowing that this is what God was, and enjoying it. Not that as I was looking, I was saying, what's this motley crowd? When will God lead me to? When will God start to begin to? I better start to confess higher things. This is not where. No, I have seen. nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things of God. Some of you, you can't even afford school fees. And you are thinking about it. How will my child go to this school? How will... I was taking my son to school, one of my sons. If I shared this story at one meeting, then my children were very angry with me. They said, well, why do you go and talk about us? Why do you? I said, when I'm being talked about, nobody says anything. Anyway, so when I took him to the school, the pastor of that country had already invited Bishop to speak in his church. So when I went, we did registration and everything, and I said to the pastor, so how much is the hostel? Let's go and find out so that I pay. And he said, oh, Lady Reverend, my wife's sister has this flat. And they are moving to the capital. And instead of renting it, we just want your child to have it. I have been doing calculations. How will I pay this, times two, times this? Let's have us. I said, okay, let's go. We'll show you the flat. So we went. Oh, bed, microwave, oven, everything in place. I had not seen. I could never have prayed whilst taking my son that, oh God, as we go, give me this. I cannot imagine it to formulate my prayer. I don't know if you understand that point. Do you understand? So as people are saying that, hey, the fees are very high. I'm not paying any such thing. I am not paying any such thing. The same with my second son. Even that one, the person was even quarreling with me. So I say I have a place. I want him to have it. And then you are trying to say that. I said, oh, but you bought it for an investment. How can you now give it to... Then the wife called me. You know, my husband hasn't taken it kindly at all. Are you trying to reject his gift? I said, hey, I have not seen. I have not seen. I'm telling you. But many of you, you have all your energy and everything. Invest into my children. Invest into their future. What will they do for education? What will they do? Just love God. It sounds too simple, but just love God. And He has prepared something. The only thing is that He cannot reveal it to you because your love is not channeled aright. The woman who loves the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm trying to cut things short. John 14. Please give me a cue because I just talk without knowing the time. So somebody give me a cue when it's like 5 minutes to time or something. John 14, 15 to 16. The woman who loves God. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Amen. Jesus is saying, one of the cardinal ways to show your love for me is obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then I will become a prayer warrior for you. I will pray the Father. Not angels. Not even men. But I, Jesus. As soon as you show your love for me by your commitment to the things I've said, I will pray the Father. And He will send another comforter. He said, I'll pray the Father. And He will send you another comforter. When you love God, even when you go through tragedy, you receive a certain supernatural comfort that defies all human thoughts. I think that's what Jesus talked about when He said, the peace of God, that passes all understanding. It doesn't make sense. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will pray the Father. So it is preceded by your love for me, you obey my commandments, and that stirs Jesus up to pray for the Father to send you another comforter. And this time, this comforter, He abides with you forever. How awesome it is to have the Holy Spirit abiding with you forever. And if you want the Holy Spirit to be tangible in your life and to abide with you in a way, and for God to have a in your life in a certain dimension, you've got to love Him. A woman who loves the Lord attracts Jesus as a prayer warrior into her life. And then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is unleashed in a certain way into her life and then stays and abides with her forever. Hallelujah. Every time, sometimes we say, oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, do this. Just love Him and obey His commandments by showing your love through that. And then everything else will be added to us. Amen. John 14, the same John 14, 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And then the two of us will come and make our abode. Making your abode with somebody is different from visiting the person. When you are visiting, you just come, you go, you come, you go. But when you are living there permanently, it's different. And to have God the Father and God the Son decide to make you their home permanently because of your love, I think that defies all human reason. The woman who loves God has God the Father and God the Son deciding to come and make their residential address in her life. Hallelujah. So if you love me, obey my word. The Father will also love you. So God so loved the world. That one is there. But a certain special channeled love comes to you when you love God. When you love God, He reciprocates it. When you love God, He gives it back to you. And not only Jesus comes, the Father also comes. And then the two of them make their abode. If Jesus were in your house, so many things would be different. The presence of God there would be different. The strife will go out of the door. The bitterness will go out of the door. The resentment will go out of the door. The constant quarreling will go out of the door. Sickness and disease will go out of the door. Incurable diseases will go out of the door. Because the Father and the Son have come to make their abode in you. How did that all come about? Because you decided to love God. Hallelujah. If you love me. Judas said, Lord, how will you not show yourself to the whole world? And Jesus said, because if you love me, you will keep my word. And then the Father will also love you. And then the two of us will come and make our abode with you. Amen. A visitor is always different. I get so many visitors in my house all the time. But they are different from the people who live in my house. When you are visiting a country, you are totally different. You shop every day. Every day you are in the mall. You are moving. The people who live there don't live like that. It is visitors who live in a certain way. When you get to anything, you say you want to eat. But when you come to Ghana, you don't. Every day, you are going to look for something to buy. Every day. It's because you are a visitor. That's why you live that way. When you know that this is your residence, you just take it easy and you live it. That's why sometimes when you go abroad and you live with people and you tell them, oh, I want to go to them, oh, take it easy. Why? Oh, you go. Oh, but you know that you are working with time and you will soon be out of the place. But they live there. So they think that you are just like this. Oh, be here. Oh. So I don't like going to places where I have to depend on people for transport. Ah. I like going to places where public transportation works. By the time they get up, I'm on the train, I've gone. And they'll be calling me. Sister Mami, where are you? I said, I'm in town, Kra. How did you get there? I said, by train. Why? Oh, why didn't you call? I said, so that you would take me at 2 o'clock when the shops will close at 4. No. A visitor is different from a resident. And when Jesus and the Father come, they will make their home in us. Hallelujah. A woman who loves God. Finally, Ephesians 6:24. Ephesians 6:24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Grace be unto all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. How many of you need grace for different situations in your life? How many of you need grace to survive certain things, to prevail and to overcome? Sometimes it's just to love God. Grace be unto you who love God. The love of God releases a certain grace. What is grace? Grace is favor. Grace is strength, not your own. Grace is strength beyond yourself. Paul said that, I labored more effectively than all the apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God. The grace of God marks you and puts you aside. The grace of God gives you a certain strength to labor more effectively. He said that the grace of God will establish you, perfect you, strengthen you, settle you. 1 Peter 5:5. So after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace establish you, strengthen you, perfect you. You need grace in your life. For those prayer topics that you are not getting answers, Paul said that, I besought the Lord 3 times, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. If you want sufficient grace, channel your love to God. You will receive grace for things that in your human strength you will not bear. You will stand in places that are just places of grace. He will mark you out and give you a special grace to fulfill the destiny on your life because you love him. This evening, I came to tell you, channel your love into the right direction. It's time to review our lives. It's time to turn things around. Even governments are always doing reshuffling. It's time for us to reshuffle the things in our lives. Some of the people you have made ministers in your lives, they must go. And the minister of your life's affairs should become the love of God. The love of God should begin to direct our lives. And when you are a woman that loves the Lord, all these things will come upon you. Stand to your feet, please. Please close your eyes. Paul said, he was praying, he said that God may direct your hearts into his love. I want you to pray the same prayer topic. Don't say, oh, Lady Pastor Media, I love God already. Just say, God, tonight, I lay my heart bare and I say, direct my heart into your love. I give you my heart and I give you permission to direct my love, my heart, into your life. Pray that prayer tonight. Start to rearrange things in your life. Start to be a woman who loves God. And see that eye hath not seen and ear has not heard experience will be your portion. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. There is a name I love to hear. There is a name I love to hear. I love of this age. From being deceived as your children. Help us to see things from your perspective. Give us divine love for you. Your word says that we love you because you first loved us. Let us see the sacrifice of God and the price that you have paid. And let our love towards you move into a new dimension. And Lord, as we walk in love towards you, may all the promises of God concerning those that love you come to pass in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Every eye closed, every head bowed. Oh,
how I love Jesus.
I can't see you tonight. God is a lady, Pastor, pray for me. I need to respond to the love of God. If I die now, I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Lady Pastor, I want to be sure. I want to respond to God's love. I don't want to reject God's love this evening. Pray for me. I want to love God. I want to know him more. If you are like that here tonight, just lift up your hand. Wherever where you are. And I want to pray with you. Lady Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure about my walk with God. I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. I want to be sure. Lift up your hands high above your shoulder. God bless you. I see those hands. Let them go higher. Let them go higher. The love of Jesus is reaching out to you. You cannot afford to reject that love tonight. Let your hands go up. Forget about who is on your left, who is on your right. It's about God loving you and you loving Him back. I see your hands. And if your hands are lifted up, let me ask you to do one more thing. Please take a bold step towards me. Give me the privilege of leading you into that love. If you've lifted up your hands, come forward to where I am. Give me the privilege of ushering you into the kingdom. Give me the privilege of leading you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Please give me the privilege of leading you to the fountain of living water. Come forward, come forward, come forward. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you need to rededicate your life, you need to start all over again. I want to respond to this love tonight. I'm waiting for you. Just come forward. Come forward. Your heart is beating in tune. God is speaking to you. Come forward and give your life to Christ. Speaking to God, I am just a channel leading you into His presence. You want to say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
this evening,
I come to you
just as I am.
Just as I am.
Please take my life.
Please take my life.
Wash me from all sin.
Wash me from all sin.
Bless me with your blood.
Bless me with your blood.
And make me your child. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
For coming to die on the cross
to save me.
And because you rose, I also shall rise again. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. I respond to your love this evening. And I know that I'll never be the same. Satan, listen to me carefully.
Listen to me carefully.
From today,
today,
I break every tie with you.
I break every tie.
Christ has set me free.
And
I'm free indeed.
And I'm free.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For writing my name.
For writing my name.
In the Lamb's Book of
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kanishi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.